Okay, tonight we continue learning Masechet Rosh Hashanah in the Mizrahi Bet Midrash of Melbourne, Australia. And we are starting the second Peruk of Masechet Rosh Hashanah on Daf Kaf Bet Amud Aleph at the bottom. And really, we carry straight on from what we were talking about before, about witnesses going to the Bet Din in Yerushalayim to testify that they've seen the new moon. And the first Mishnah of the Peruk says, Im Einu Makirin Oto, if they do not recognize him. In other words, if it's known that the Bet Din Yerushalayim won't know this witness and won't know he's reliable, then Meshalchin Imo Acher Laheidu, they send, that is, his hometown, Bet Din, will send with him another witness to testify for him. So Reuben is the witness who's seen the new moon. Reuben goes off to Yerushalayim, but they send Shimon with him. Shimon is somebody who can attest to Reuben's reliability. Birishona hayu makablin eidot achodesh mikola adam. Now, this whole idea that you need to have somebody whom you recognize, which we don't apply in other types of eidot, is a new development, as we now say, because originally they would accept eidot from anyone. Mishakalkalo habeitusim, but when the beitusim mucked it up, as we will explain, hitkinu shelo yehe makablin eilamin hamakirin. Then they instituted that they would only accept testimony about the new moon from people whom they recognize, to check they are not beitusim who are trying to sabotage the system. So we'll come on to explain all these things. But we start by saying, my acher. What does it mean when they send another with the first witness? Another will be one to validate him. So if we mean it's chad, i.e. one person, that raises a question. V'chad mi mehaman. Do we believe one person? And we know that basically we don't believe one person in Eidot. We always need two people. So what's the point of sending one person to testify about the reliability of the other witness? V'atanya, and we've learned in a brighter, Ma'ase Shabahu ve'edyo imo la'haid alav. We have a brisa which talks about this situation where he, the witness, came and ediyov, his witnesses, plural, came with him to testify on him. So that brisa reinforces the question that says we need two witnesses to testify about the first witness. So why does our Mishnah say acher, one other person? Amar Rav Papa, my acher, zug acher. Rav Papa says, what do we mean by another person? We don't mean another person, we mean another pair. And so that answers the question. Hachi nami mustavra. In fact, this is also obvious. De ilo tema hachi, because if you don't say that acher means another pair, then we have another problem in the Mishnah. In eino makirin oto, if they do not recognize him. My oto, what is meant by him? Now, ilema oto chad, if you think oto means just one person, one him, v'chad mi mehaman. And do we believe one person if they've seen the new moon? Mishpat ketiv bei. The pasuk says mishpat. What is the pasuk? Tiko b'chodesh sofa b'kesel yom chagenu. Blow the shofar on the month when the tiko b'chodesh. Yes, blow the shofar on the month when the at the time of hiding keser is the day of our chag, and that refers, as we said earlier, to Rosh Chodesh Tishri. So that pasuk is darshan to be talking about kiddush chodesh, and it says mishpat. And the word mishpat means we're applying the rules of normal mishpatim, of normal judgments, where we need two witnesses. So what does it mean you send one witness, and if they don't recognize the one witness, you need more? Elamai oto, what do we mean by oto? Oto zug, that pair. So the Mishnah is to be read as, if they don't recognize that pair of witnesses, then we send with imo, it's a bit of a problem actually, acher, another pair to testify about the reliability of the first pair. Then we say, but we raise an objection to this. We say, v'chad lo mehaman, is it true that one is never believed? V'hatanya, we've learned in a brayta the following story. Ma'aseh b'Rabbi Nahurai, is a story about Rabbi Nahurai, shahalach etzel ha'ed la'ha'id alav. He went with the witness to testify on him. So Rav Naharai was one of these character witnesses to testify about the validity of the first witness. And there's only one of him, b'Shabbat, and he did it on Shabbat. Ba'usha, in Usha. Now Usha was where one of the places the Sanhedrin moved to after the Chorban. So it was the place where they did Kiddush HaChodesh. And he went Dafkar on Shabbat, and we'll see the significance of that a little bit later. And we, by the way, we learn that just as the witnesses can be Mechal or Shabbat in order to testify the new moon, the witnesses of the witnesses are part of the same process, so they can be Mechal or Shabbat. Anyway, Omri, they said in answer to this question, Rabbi Nohorai, Sahada Achrina Habe Bahadei. Rabbi Nohorai had another witness with him. So it wasn't him on his own, which would have been a question to the position we're holding that you need two. In fact, it was two. It was him and somebody else. V'hadalo chashivle, and the reason we don't reckon the other witness, we don't even name him, mishum kavodo sh'Rabbi Nohorai. It's because of the honor of Rabbi Nohorai, we don't sort of say that he needed somebody with him, even though there was somebody with him. That's the first answer to the Braisa. Rav Ashi Omar, Rav Ashi gives another answer, and he says, Rabbi Nohorai, sahada achrina have, pa'usha. Rabbi Nohorai knew there was another witness in Usha, va'azil Rabbi Nohorai li'itztarufe bahadei. And Rabbi Nohorai went to join with him. So Rabbi Nohorai was on his own, but he knew by the time he got to Usha, he'd be part of a pair, establishing or maintaining the position that you need two witnesses to testify about the first witnesses. Now, but then we ask a question. If Rabbi Nohorai went on his own, well, on the presumption that he was going to meet a fellow witness there in Usha, what's the chiddush? What's the story telling us? And the answer is, Mahu Tatema, what might you have thought? Misveika lo mechalalin shabta, kamashmalam. You might have thought that in a case of a doubt, you don't break Shabbat. Because after all, Rabbi Nohorai, so he was traveling to Usha on Shabbat, he was going outside the Tuchum, he was transgressing Shabbat. And he was doing so because when he got to Usha, there'd be another witness to join with him in the testimony. But who knows for sure if that other witness is going to be there? Maybe that other witness has gone down to the market, or not on Shabbos. Maybe the other witness is home in bed, putting his feet up. And therefore, it's only a sofek that Rabbi Nohorai's journey is going to be useful. So you might have thought that on that basis, you don't mechalal Shabbat. Kamash Malan, this comes to teach us that you do. So even though Rabbi Nohorai was going on the assumption that there'd be another witness to join in with him, which is only ever a sothek, it can't be a vada, it can't be something he's certain about, he is still Mechal Shabbat, and that's what the Mishnah, the Braisa, teaches us. Continues the story. Continues the Gemara. Ki ata ula, ama kitshuhu liyarcha b'ma'arava. So here we have a story of somebody who told people about the new moon having been declared. Ula appears often in the Gemara, and he's one of the Amoraim who travels from Eretz Yisrael to Babel. Often he comes bearing teachings from Eretz Yisrael. In this case, he brought news from Eretz Yisrael. So he comes to Babel, and he says they have sanctified the new moon in the west, which is Eretz Yisrael. Amarav Kahana, lo mibaya ula, degrava gavra rabahu. The point of the story, says Rav Kahana, it doesn't need to be Ula, who was a great man, to Meheman, to teach us that he's believed. Ela afilo inish da alma nami Meheman. But any old person is also believed. And by the way, that means you don't have to have news from somebody who is reliable and has been testified about and has been recognized by the Bet Din. Inish da alma means anybody. So if anyone comes to Babel and says the new moon has been declared, you believe them. My timer, what's the reason? Kol mita da avida le'iglue. Anything that is going to be revealed, lo meshakre bo inshi. People don't lie about it. This is a principle that we apply in various cases when we want to know if a witness is lying or not. This is one of the principles that guide our judgment. If the witness says something which we're going to be able to check up on, then we assume the witness doesn't lie. So if somebody says the new moon's been declared, sooner or later we're all going to know from other people when the new moon was declared, and therefore we don't worry about somebody lying about it because they're going to be found out if they're lying. Tanya Nami Hachi, another braisa says the same thing. Ba ached achad besof ha'olam. Somebody comes and the note of the bach, which is that big aleph, should say misof ha'olam, from the end of the earth. For amar kitchu bet din et chodesh, and he tells us that the bet din has sanctified the month. Ne'eman, he is to be believed. Now we continue with the next line of the Mishnah. Birashona hayu mekablen edut hachodesh mikol adam. Originally, they would accept testimony from anybody, and the Mishnah continued to say, Mishakilkalu habeitusim. But when the beitusim mucked it up, then they said, we're only going to accept reliable witnesses. So who are the beitusim? Well, we'll tell you who the Beitusim were. The Beitusim were people who were heretics. They'd learnt wrong. They were the Talmidim of Beitus, who's one of the Talmidim of Antigonus Issochar. There's a story that the Beitus misunderstood what Antigonus Issochar at the beginning of Pirkei Avot said, and he went out and became a heretic. And in particular, their group, like the Sadducees and like others, didn't recognize the authority of the Torah Shebaal Peh. And therefore they argued with Chachamim on many, many things. And they argued about the day of the week on which Shavuot will fall. Because the Torah says that Shavuot is Mimacharat HaShabbat. Well, it actually says the beginning, bringing of the Omer is Mimacharat HaShabbat. And 7 weeks later is Shavuot, which is also going to be the same day of the week. What is meant by Mimacharat HaShabbat? So if you don't accept the Torah Shebaal Peh, you read that as the day after Saturday, i.e. Sunday. The Omer is always brought on Sunday, Shavuot is always on Sunday. If you read it with the Torah Shebaal Peh, the word Shabbat doesn't mean Saturday, it means Yom Tov. So the time you bring the Omer is the night after the first day of Yom Tov of Pesach, i.e. the second night of Yom Tov, and Shavuot will fall on 7 weeks later, whatever day of the week is the second day of Pesach. So the Beitusim and others who didn't accept the Torah Shebaal Peh argued in particular about the calendar, and they tried to fix things so that Shavuot would fall on Sunday. And how do you fix things? Well, in this case, you send untrue witnesses. You send false witnesses. The false witness will come and say, we saw the new moon today. Now, you can't make it up. You can't say we saw the new moon on the 20th day of the month. You've only got one day to play with. But if you're lucky, by playing with that one day between the 29th or the 30th day, you can fix it so Shavuot comes out on a Sunday. So the Beitusim were interested in mucking up the system. And that's why the Chachamim instituted that the witnesses had to be reliable. And now we have a story. It's a great story. Pam achat bikshu beitusim lahato'ot echachamim. There was a time when, Tana Rabbanan, the Mishnah of the Brisa says, ma kilkul, kilkul ha beitusim. What is the kilkul? The kilkul is the beitusim, as I just explained. Now we have a story. Pam achat bikshu beitusim lahato'ot echachamim. There was an occasion when the beitusim wanted to trick the sages. Sofru shnei b'nei adam. They hired two people to go and be false witnesses. But arba me'od zuz, with 400 zuz. Turns out that means between them. So 200 zuz each. Echad mishalanu ve'echad mishalahem. One of our guys, who sold himself for money, and one of their guys. Shalahem he'id edulto. So the one of their guys testified his false testimony about seeing the new moon. V'yatza, and he went. Shalanu, and now our guy came in. Omrulo, so the interrogators said to him, Emor keitzad re'ita et halvana. Tell us how you saw the moon. And as we've learned, they've asked questions about, no, we haven't learned yet, but we learned a bit about the moon. They asked questions about which direction was it facing, where, how low, etc. was it, in order to try and see if they're telling the truth, because the questioners would know the real astronomical data of where it was likely to be seen, so they could test whether they were telling the truth. But in this case, he said to them, Amar lahem, he said to them, keterita et halavana, I missed that word. Tell us how you saw the moon. Amar lahem, he said to them, Ola hayiti, I was climbing, b'male adumim, in a place called Male Adumim, which is very exciting because I used to live in Male Adumim. Mm-hmm. And here it is in the Mishnah, or the Braisa. V'ra'iti, and a'ri'itiv, and I saw the moon. Shehu ravutz ben bet ben shnei sala'im. It was crouching between two rocks, like two sort of mountains. That's where I saw it. But then he goes on. Rosho doma le'egel. The head of the moon was like a calf. Aznav domim le'gedi. The ears of the moon were like a kid. Karnav domot le'tzvi. Its horns were like a deer. V'zanvo munachet lo ben yerkatav. And its tail rested between its thighs. There are Meforshim who explain each part of this Moshul, but the basic idea is he's telling the Chachamim that what he's telling them is not true, and he's deliberately embellishing it in an absurd way. And he continues to say, V'hatzitzti, I peered bo at it, V'nitrati, and I was scared, V'nafalti la'achorai, and I fell backwards. And then he says, "Ve'im ein atem ma'aminim li," and if you don't believe me, "Harei metayim zuz sarurim li besadini." There's 200 zuz wrapped up in my coat. In other words, he's spilling the beans on the plot. Omrulo.
Why would he disclose that he's got the money?
because he wants to show that they've hired him. He's turning in Queen's evidence. He is telling our guy. He's one of our guys. Remember, he's not a Beitusi.
I thought he wasn't. This is the Beitusi
man. No, this is our guy. The Beitusi said what he said and went out, and the Shalonu came in. Okay. So he's really on our side. He's like a double agent. And he's telling them.
So he managed to get himself to get paid to come
yes,
and give.
Yes. Edis. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Omrulo, me his kikucha lekach. Who forced you into this? Amar lahem, he said to them, Shemati shebikshu Beitusim lehatote chachamim. I heard that the Beitusim were trying to trick the sages. Amarati, and he said, Ailech ani, I will go for Odiolahem, and I'll tell them that I'm available. Shema yavu b'nei adam she'enam mehuganim. Because maybe if I don't do it, they'll bring people who are not worthy, who won't turn into good guys. V'yit'u et hachamim, and they will cheat, they will trick the sages. So it's better that I do it, and I can untrick you. Amrulo, they said to him, Matayim zuz natunim lacha, the 200 zuz is for you. Rashi says that even though sort of technically he shouldn't have it because he didn't do the job, he was given the 200 zuz on condition that he tricks the sages, and he didn't trick them. But hefka bet din hefka, the rabbis have the power to declare that people's money isn't their money and to give it to whom they want, and it's a power they use sparingly, but it's a power that they have. So Rashi says that's on that basis they were able to give him the money.
But let's ask, how much did the Aden get paid, normal Aden, by the Beis Din to come and give
Aden? Nothing. They were given food and lodging, but not money.
Okay. Otherwise you'd have...
Corruption. These were corrupt, because they were the Beitusim. Okay, so, Omrulo, Matayim Zuz Natunim Lacha. They said to him, the Matayim Zuz, it's yours, the Matana, as a present, the Hasorcha, and the one who hired you, Yimtach Al Ha'amud, will be stretched out on the pillar for Malkut, for whipping. But Oto Sha'ah, and at that time, Hitkino, they instituted Shalo Yehei Makablin Eila Min Hamakirin. They instituted that from then on, they would only accept Eidot about the month from people whom they recognized. Mishnah says, Berishona Hayu Masa'im Masa'ot. In the beginning, they used to light bonfires. So we've got a little bit out of order, because the whole thing about sending messengers was Plan B. Plan A, which they did originally, was they lit bonfires on high mountains. And when you see one bonfire lit over there, you light a bonfire here, and then the white people over there will see it. And you get the message out very, very quickly. And that's much more efficient than sending messages. But Misha Kilkalu hab Kutim. Here the problem is ascribed not to the Beitusim, but to the Kutim, the Kuthites, who also were against the Chachamim and their interpretation of Torah Shebaal Peh. So from the time the Kutim mucked it out, Hitkinu shahayu shaluchim yotzein. They established that the messengers go out and they didn't use the bonfires anymore. The problem with bonfires is incredibly easy to sabotage the bonfire system. How do you sabotage the bonfire system?
Light a bonfire.
You light it on the wrong night, so it's very, very vulnerable. And that's what happened. So they stopped the bonfires and they did the messengers. But we're going to learn how they used to do bonfires. Ketzad hayu masein masa'ot. How did they light the bonfires? Mevi'en klus klum sa'ot shal erez. They bought poles of cedar wood, aruchim, which were long, v'kinim, and reeds, v'atzei shemen, and atzei shemen is balsam wood, u'na'arot shel pishtin, and bundles of pishtin, of flax, v'korech v'mashicha, and they tied it up with a string, v'ola l'rosh ha'har, and they went up to the top of the mountain, u'matzit bahen et ha'or, and they ignited there the light, the flame, u'molich u'movi, umale umorid, they waved it backwards and forwards and up and down, achahu ra'e et chaveru, until they could see the next guy along on the next mountain. Shahu also came, and he would do the same, Beresh Hahar Hasheni, on the top of the second mountain. V'chi Beresh Hahar Hashlishi, and V'chein Beresh Hahar Hashlishi, and the same on the third mountain. Uma'ayin hayu masi'in masa'ot, and from where would they light the bonfires? In other words, where was the first bonfire? Mehar HaMishcha, from the Mount of Oil, which is the Gemara's way of talking about Har HaZeitim, the Mount of Olives, from which you get oil. And the Mount of the Har HaZeitim is right by Har HaBayit, which is where they announced the new moon. So they went to the nearest mountain, which is Har HaZeitim. They lit the first bonfire. And Mehar HaMishcha Le Sartava, And from there they went to Saratava. Now, some people claim that we know where these places are, but that's not uniformly accepted. But they're mountains somewhere in Israel. Umisartava la Grafina, and from that one to Grafina, that's the next mountain, Grafina la Chavran, to Chavran, Umechavran la Beit Baltim. And from there to Beit Baltim, these are the names of all the mountains on which they live. The bonfires, Umi Beit Baltim, lo Zazu Misham, Eila Molich, Omovi, Omali, Omorit, Achete Roe, Kol Hagola, Lafanav, Kamadurat, Eish. And from Beit Baltim, which was on the border of Bavel, they would not move from there, but they would wave backwards and forwards and up and down until everyone in Bavel got the message, and they would see the whole of the exile lit up before them like a bonfire. So Rashi says it doesn't mean the whole of Bavel, that's impossible. It means Pumbedita, which was the center of Jewish Bavel, and that would be lit up like a bonfire, and then everyone else would hear about it from the people of Pumbedita. Quite a beautiful idea that you like this bonfire, and the message goes all the way from Harabayat until Bavel is lit up like a bonfire. The Gemara says, "My mashma de Messian lishna tikudhu." How do we know that Messian, which was the word used in the Mishnah, is an expression of igniting? It's interesting, the Gemara sometimes asks this question, that, and it's a little bit hard for us, I think, because we, if we don't know the word, we look it up in the Art Scroll or in the Jastro or whatever. But we have to remember that these Mishnayot were passed down orally, and that was basically all they had, and sometimes they didn't know the meaning of a word, and there was a tradition about what that word meant, but it might have been an obscure word, or it might have been a word that has more than one meaning. So they wanted to know, how do we know that it means igniting in this case? Dichtiv, as it said, the answer is because we have a pasuk in Shmuel Bet about David and his men igniting various idols that the Plishtim had left around. And it says, V'yisa'em David v'anshav. David and his men burnt their... Oh, I've given all the game away. It says the verb is yisa'em. Umatargaminan, and we translate it in Aramaic, and that's the Targum of Yonatan ben Uziel, which is, if you like, the classic translation into Aramaic on the Nach. And it says there, V'okidinan David. David okdinan, he set fire to it. Makod, Bet HaMakod, is a place of a bonfire in the Mishnah. So nikud is to ignite. And we see that translation here, translating the word v'yisa'em. Okay, Tan Rabbanan. Now, we have a discussion. I'll just pause for a minute and give a little bit of background. Is when exactly are we going to light the bonfire? Now, a month can be 29 or 30 days. So the 30th day of the month is sometimes the 30th day of the old month, or sometimes it's the first day of the new month. If witnesses come on the 30th day and they're interrogated and they are determined to be kosher, then, and their testimony is true, then the 30th day becomes and is declared as the first day of the new month. If the witnesses don't come, then the 30th day is declared as the 30th day of the old month. And the following day, automatically, without witnesses, is declared as the first day of the new month. That would make it the old month to be a long one, a 30-day month, as opposed to a 29-day month. And the 30th day is called Yom HaIbur, the day of the extra bit. As I said the last week, literally the day of the pregnancy, because a pregnant woman sticks out a little bit. So the old month sticks out a bit. So let's get this straight. The 30th day of the old month might be the 30th day of the old month, if it's a long month and no witnesses come on that day, in which case it's called Yom HaIbur. Or the witnesses might come and it's declared as the first day of the new month. Now, under what circumstances do they light the bonfires and on which night? So, the Gemara now says, Tan Rabbanan, Ein Masein Masa'ot Eila Ala Chodesh Shenira Bizmano. We only light bonfires on a month that is seen in its time, Lekadsho, to make it, to do a Kiddush HaChodesh. And Bizmano in its time means on the 30th day. So it's a way of saying a short month. We only light bonfires on a 29-day month. Once the 30th day is when the new moon has been seen and it's been declared to be the first day of the new month. In other words, for long months, let's call them 30-day months, we don't light bonfires. And Gemara's going to ask why. So we only light bonfires on short months. And when do we actually light it? And the answer is, V'emotai Masein, and when do we light it? La'or Iburo, on the day and the night following the extra day. In other words, the night between the 30th and the 31st day. And so when you see the bonfire, let's say today is the 28th of Av, which it sort of is. Yeah, well, it was. So this, let's okay, so this year, every year, Av is a long month. Let's pretend it's not, okay? We're going to pretend it's not a long month. So today's the 28th of Av, tomorrow's the 29th of Av. Shabbat, well, that's going to complicate things. Okay, Shabbat is the day that may or not be the 30th or maybe the 1st. And it turns out to be the new moon is seen on Shabbat, so Shabbat becomes the 1st of Elul. Doesn't really, but we'll say it does. And then it's on Saturday night that they light the bonfire. The night after, the night following the 1st of the new month. Now, why does it have to be then? It can't be during the day because you don't see bonfires during the day. And it can't be the previous night because no new moon has been declared. So when the new moon is declared on, in my example, this coming Shabbat, and they say, aha, today is the 1st of Elul, tonight we will light the bonfires. So everyone around sees the bonfire lit, in this case on Motzei Shabbat, in my example. They know that you only ever light bonfires on a short month, and they know you light the bonfires on the night following the first day of the new month. So they'll know what date it is, because they'll know the rules. So they'll know that if they see the bonfire, that concludes the first day of the new month. And if they don't see the bonfire, that means that concludes the 30th day of the old month, and tomorrow will be the first day of the new month. And everyone will know what day it is.
So if it's a short month, they miss Rosh Chodesh?
Yes. Well, they
missed it because it would have been the second day that night.
Yes. Hold that question for a little while, okay? But yeah, effectively, they won't know for sure when it's Rosh Chodesh. And they'll only know for sure on the second day of what we call a two-day Rosh Chodesh. How did they daven on that day?
Yeah.
I don't know.
When did they bring the korban?
Okay, now the korban's not a problem, because where do they bring the korban? In Yerushalayim.
So they saw that already.
And so the news travels instantly from Yerushalayim to the Beit Mikdash.
Okay,
now it might be a problem if it's in the afternoon. They'll have missed the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's an interesting discussion, but they'll still chap a little bit. In the case of outside Yerushalayim, they don't need to worry about the korban, because they're not bringing a korban.
Mm-hmm.
How did they daven? When did they say Yalla V'Yavo and Hallel? I don't know. I honestly don't know. But in terms of the korban, they don't need messengers for the korban, because the korban is in... It's in the Harabaya. It's right next door. You know, it's the next office down to the Sanhedrin.
And would only be they only expect the bonfire the one night a month.
Yes, they'd only expect once they knew when last night when the last Rosh Chodesh was, they'll look out for the night following the 30th. If they see the bonfire, they know we've just finished day one.
Great.
If they don't see the bonfire, they'll know we've just finished day 30.
Yeah.
So it works very well, as we're now going to discuss. But the Gemara says, the Eimot HaMasein or Iburo. When do they light the bonfires? On the night following the extra day, which would have been the 30th, but in fact was the 1st. L'meimra. So do you mean to say that achoser avdinan, amale lo avdinan? That we light bonfires for short months, literally lacking, and we don't light bonfires for full months.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the case. The answer is yes. My timer. But what's the reason we do it that way? Amar of Zera, gezera mishum rosh chodesh chaser, shachal lihiyot be'erev Shabbat. There's a gezera, again, the possibility of Rosh Chodesh after a short month, so on the 30th day, being the beginning of the new month, which falls on Friday.
Mm.
If we lit on the night after the 1st of the months, okay, maybe you could say we can light on short months and on long months, and we'll always light at the end of the first day, right? And then everyone will see the bonfire, they'll say, ah, yesterday, the day just gone was the first day. And it doesn't matter if it's a short day or a short month or a long month. They'll know, because they'll see the bonfire at the end of day one. What happens if the end of day one is Friday night? They won't see the bonfire and they'll get all confused. Eimat Avdi, if that's the case, if you need to do the bonfire on Friday night, when are you going to do it? But Afuke Shabta on Motzi Shabbos, the Iyamata Na'avit Nami Amale, and if you say that we'll do it also on a long month, Atul Mata'ai, they'll come to make a mistake. Omri, top of Kaf Gimel Amad Aleph, Omri, they'll say, Hai Chaser Ho, it was a short month, V'hai Delo Avid Me'ed Mol, and the reason they didn't do it last night on Friday night, Mishum Delo Efsha, because it's not possible, because it's Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
Or Dilma, they'll say, maybe, Malehu. It's a long month. Ubizmano avdu, and they've done it on the right night. So in other words, if we always did it both on short night and long night, then if you see the bonfire on Motzi Shabbos, you won't know if it's a long month and it's the end of day one, or maybe it was a short month, but and you couldn't have done it on Friday night, so you're now doing it on Motzi Shabbos, and you won't know. However, if everyone knows we only do it on short months, and then they do see it, and it falls out on Friday night, they'll do it on Motzi Shabbos, but they'll know that it should have been on Friday night, because they'll know it, if it was a short month, it should have been on Friday night.
Mm.
With me?
Why, when this stopped, when the bonfire stopped, they still mechalel Shabbos, though, by sending out messages. So why can't they mechalel Shabbos by making fires as well?
So
they made a gezeira against burning fires.
They didn't mechalel Shabbat for the messengers. They mechalel Shabbat for the witnesses. We learned that last night.
And not they. So how they get out the message after bonfires?
The messengers rode on their horses.
No. Oh, even on Shabbos?
They didn't ride on Shabbos.
So how they know if it was a long one or not a short one?
The messengers would know. Sorry, the messengers would give the message.
But as in from Jerusalem, it goes that the messengers go out, yeah?
Right, yeah.
They took the function of the bonfires up, they got stopped.
Yes.
But they can't go out on Shabbos, though. Isn't it the same issue?
I'm missing something. They wouldn't go on Shabbos.
Yeah.
So they'd start on Sunday or whatever, and when they got to their place, when they got to the town, they'd say Rosh Chodesh was last Tuesday. Wednesday.
Okay, fine.
Okay? Had it been that the messengers travelled on Shabbos, that would be a good question.
Yeah.
Or you can ask. Now, it seems that we did ask the last night, we asked that very question.
The messengers couldn't travel on Shabbos.
They couldn't.
Only witnesses
could. Witnesses could. And the Gemara said, you might think, that since witnesses can, messengers also can, Kamash Malam, they can't.
Mm.
Okay? And so I can now use your diuk to turn the question around or to make it an answer. Just as we know the messengers couldn't go on Shabbos, the bonfires couldn't be lit on Shabbos. So basically, I won't labour this point anymore up to this point, that if you lit on both nights, then if you were due to light on Friday night, people wouldn't know if they saw it on Motzi Shabbos, whether this is the correct night or it's Friday night delayed. But if you have a system whereby everyone knows you only light on after short months, then people won't get that confused. And if they see it was due on Friday night, and they see it on Saturday night, then they'll know it was due on Friday night, because they'll be able to calculate. We only count for short months, and a short month would have been yesterday. So it must have been that yesterday was the bonfire night. Okay? But then the Gemara says, line 3, middle of a line, V'li'aved bein amale bein achase. How about this? Light on both nights, whether it's a long month or a short month, V'chi miklai rosh chodesh be'erev Shabbat. And when it falls out Rosh Chodesh on Friday, so you're going to get the confusion, lo le'aved klal, don't light at all. The kevon to lo avdina Motzi Shabbos, the avdina amale, and since it's not lit on Friday night or on Motzi Shabbos, and if we were in the circumstance in the Havamina that we lit on long months, may the yada the chasahu, everyone would know, but it was really a short month, because if they don't see it, they'll realize that the bonfire, if we don't see the bonfire at all, they'll realize it should have been on Friday night, and they'll know it would have been a short month on Friday night. So in other words, the key is to refute the previous scenario. If it falls on Friday night, we don't light at all, and people will work it out. And the answer is, afilo haki atul mitai. Even so, they'll still make a mistake. Omri, they'll say, hi malehu, it's a long month. Now, okay, the situation is, if it's a short month, they should light on Friday night. If it's a long month, they should light on Motzi Shabbos. So we're going to get around the problem by saying, if it's a short month and it falls out on Friday night, don't light at all.
Mm.
So they'll know it's not a long month, because if it's a long month, they would have seen it on Motzi Shabbos. So they'll know it was a short month and the bonfire should have been lit on Friday night, but obviously wasn't. No, that won't work. Because if they don't see it on Motzi Shabbos, you know what? They'll say it was a long month, it should have been lit on Motzi Shabbos, the high delo avde, and the reason they didn't do it on Motzi Shabbos, it nusehu de it nuseh. They were prevented by some prevention. And Rashi says they drank too much on Shabbos. People will think on Motzi Shabbos there's no bonfire. They won't think, it's a short month, it should have been last night, and they didn't light it because it's Shabbos. They'll think it should have been tonight on Motzi Shabbos, and they're too drunk to light it. So they will get confused. I learned from that people used to drink more than we probably do on Shabbos. Oh, more than I do, anyway. That doesn't take much.
Is this why you're an anti?
No, it's not why I had to. There are other reasons for that. Okay, let's just finish two more lines and then we'll stop. So, how about li'aved amale v'lo li'aved achaser klal? Let's have a different system. We'll light on the long months and we won't light on the short months. And that will be just as good as the way we do it. And everyone will know if it's been lit, it's a long month. If it hasn't been lit, it was a short month. Amar Abaya, mishum bitul melacha la'am shnei yamim. Abaya says that means people will spend 2 days without work. So let me say, this is an interesting machloket between Rashi and Tosfot about what we're talking about. Rashi says we're talking about Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah in particular. And Rosh Hashanah could be 1 day or 2 days, depending on whether Elul is a long month or a short month. Forget that. The Rosh Hashanah is 1 day, but it will come either on the, what we might call the 30th day of Elul, if Elul is only 29 days, or the 31st day of Elul, if Elul is 30 days. And we don't know which. So if we are waiting for the bonfire on the long month, what do we do the previous day? Well, we say today might be, let's talk about a general month, today might be the first day of Rosh Chodesh. Let's assume it is. And the second day might also be a day of Rosh Chodesh. Mm-hmm. If we have the bonfire on the short month, then it'll be clear. We'll know once the short month's finished, for sure, whether it's a short month or a long month. But if we wait for the long month to light, then we're in doubt until we see the bonfire. Mm-hmm. So Rashi says the 2 days of Bitul Malacha are everyone will have to keep, everyone in Chutzlaret, right, or outside Jerusalem, sorry, will have to keep Rosh Hashanah for 2 days. Even Rosh Hashanah is only a 1 day, but if it were to fall on the 31st day of Elul, on the 30th day of Elul, people will say, well, today might be Rosh Hashanah, and then it isn't, so on the 31st day of Elul, it will be Rosh Hashanah. And even though Rosh Hashanah turns out to always be 2 days, but that's we'll get to that at another time, the Gemara is presuming that it could have been 1 day, but if you wait till the bonfire on the after the long month, you'll always have to wait 2 days. You'll always have to wait 2 days, and unnecessarily, and there will be a bitul malacha. Interestingly, Tosfos disagrees with Rashi and says it's not talking about Rosh Hashanah, which after all is a little bit of a dochek pshat, because you know why should we suddenly just be talking about 2 days of the year when we've been talking about every Rosh Chodesh? So Tosfos says it's talking about every Rosh Chodesh. The principle's the same, but what he learns is that they would have observed Rosh Chodesh by not doing work, or at least doing less work. And that was what I wanted to say in answer to your original question. So Tosfos would hold that Rosh Chodesh was observed, and if they weren't sure what day it is, they'd have to observe Rosh Chodesh for 2 days. So the observance of Rosh Chodesh was not the Korban, because that's just in the Bet Mikdash. I don't know about davening, sorry, it's just something I'm not aware of. But there was an observance of Rosh Chodesh at least, and some sort of reduction in work. And Tosfos says under that scenario, which we reject, they would have always had to wait 2 days, on a long month, they would have to wait 2 days because wouldn't have been sure if it was a long month or a short month. And the solution to all of these is where we started. We light bonfires on the end of the short month. And if that's the case, then all these problems are solved. People are always going to know what day it is, and they're not going to have to wait an extra day of wondering if it's Rosh Chodesh. We will stop there, and if it's Hashem, we'll carry on Sunday.
Well, that means that, according to Tosfot, every single month, on the 30th day, like the end of the 29th day, yes. I'd observe that.
Correct. And then maybe...
Month, and then depending on whether they saw a bonfire or not...
That's right.
And if they didn't, then they would... if they didn't, then they would...
So a short month, they'd end up observing 1 day.
Yeah.
A long month, they'd end up observing 2 days.
Okay.